Sanders.
President Clinton talking about his pal President Obama and stumping for votes. Game on. This is it, the final frontier, or at least the last chance at voting. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. A big shout out to everybody listening to us in some of those hard hit areas by Superstorm Sandy just a week ago. Got a nice letter from Jan, who hails from Seaside Heights and said she saw the damage when she went back and all she could do was cry. I understand, and that's a big hug from us because, boy, we know what it's like as somebody who grew up around the Jersey Shore, seeing those boardwalks ripped up and certainly seeing all those people's lives ripped apart. Can't imagine, 40,000 people displaced. But yet, we have an election in this country, and guess what? A lot of the people who are displaced really want to vote. So in New Jersey, Governor Christie is saying fax or email, it works. You can get a ballot that way and turn it back in. They're also taking military trucks and driving them around to places where people can't get to a polling place. They've got generators, so they have power, and they can vote that way. In New York, all bets are off. Instead of having to go to specific polling places, Governor Cuomo said, you know what, it's important that people have a chance to go out and vote. Therefore, we're going to let them vote wherever they can get to. Doesn't matter if you're from Queens and you're trapped somewhere else or wherever it is. Anywhere in New York, it counts. Cuomo also talked about the scary thing happening. While you have all these people displaced, you have mountains of trash and debris and trying to still clean up subways and deal with Staten Island, deal with other pockets in those five boroughs where people were slammed and houses are dilapidated and everything else that still is happening within a week period. Guess what? There's another storm coming, and here he talks about it.
Under normal conditions, it wouldn't be that problematic. This is complicated because it is a storm that would approach before we've recovered from the first storm.
Wow, how about that? So we hope that that nor'easter kind of takes a little bit of a spin and doesn't hit the area quite as hard, especially when you're talking about some of those temperatures that people would have to endure. So as I said, when we first jumped on, it is ultimately about the vote. It is about people getting out to vote and the big final push, the battleground states and all the conversation over, well, what if Ohio does this, and what happens to Pennsylvania? Oh, and what about Virginia and the 106 counties? What could happen there? Well, the answer is it's been a roller coaster-ish kind of campaign, hasn't it? And Mitt Romney, how many debates was Mitt Romney involved in? 20-plus on the Republican side. Throw in the other three. So almost 25 debates. And we have talked this thing out forwards and backwards. Is it going to be a tight race? Will we know the outcome of this in the wee hours on Wednesday? Or will there be a winner declared presidential-wise a little bit earlier than that? I have a feeling this one might not be something that gets dragged out, because we keep hearing that this dead heat and look at the polls and what happens if people are fired up and what happens if, you know, Ohio with the provisional ballots, that comes down to that because it's that close. Boy, that would be something. I mean, that really would tell you that the polls weren't that far off then. So the finish line is at hand. Americans have looked at lots of different questions, I think, in casting these ballots. Whether it's the question I keep asking, what's in your wallet, the fiscal cliff, the trillions in debt we keep occurring, we've got to do something different. So we got everything mixed in here. We've had the $1 billion of ads. We've had those debates that I mentioned. And now it's time to put up or shut up. And some people are going to not vote. Some people aren't going to get the little sticker that says I voted. Some people are saying that I just don't want to vote for anyone, so I'm not going to go to the polls. But how many of those people will there be versus the people that will actually go and do it? You know, people talk about the millennials and the young voter not going, but I find the opposite, that a lot of young people I talk to say, of course I'm voting, absolutely. And I believe them. I think they're going to get out there. And I definitely think that the people in the storm areas where Sandy slammed into them and wreaked havoc with their lives, I think a lot of those people really, really want a chance to go out and vote. So they're going to take it. They're going to go to whatever polling place. They're going to jump into a military van if they have to. Whatever is offered to them. I honestly think that we'll see some pretty big numbers coming out of there. Not so much, geez, it's going to be tough to vote because they're tied up with all these things happening. I don't think so. I think that that becomes even bigger. Finally, there is some relief. Going to mix this in here at the top in talking about the elections. Gas stations, and this may play a part in this too, gas stations are reopening because there was a problem with pumping the gas. And now, for the most part, they're back online because that was really the problem. That is music to the ears of people in the New York metro area who can go and get gas and not have to weather some of the craziness they did initially the first couple days after that storm. 24% of the gas stations in the area didn't have gasoline available for sale just a day or two ago after that October, you know, through the Northeast after that storm hit. They didn't have it. So now 27% of the gas stations that were unavailable on Sunday are now back there. The long lines of cars that have become so commonplace in New York City and New Jersey, the gas cans, all that kind of stuff, dead shipping problems at the ports, traffic jams, all of that, it's starting to ease up. So that's great news. And a lot of that is because of the gas stations losing power during Sandy and not having the ability to pump the gas. So they couldn't get the gas. They had no choice. Thank goodness we're seeing that turnaround. So the reality is getting a little bit better, at least in that sense, because it's an area where if you've got the subways out or if you're commuting back, you have no other way to get around. What are you going to do? Especially there was problems with the transit system in general. At this point, in looking at the amount the elections cost, somebody shipped me a note today or sent me a note, text me a note, I guess is the right way to say it, didn't ship it to me. It actually was more than we thought. If we added up all the numbers, the cost of the 2012 election is $4.2 billion. Wow! $4.2 billion. That is crazy to elect a president. A lot of that, though, is PAC money. Coming up on the flip side, a little bit of odds and ends. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the freeze-dried guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House survival buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House survival buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com. Click on freeze-dried foods and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House Survival Bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Two, three, ooh. 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 Well, my heart knows it better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let it do all the talking. Because a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse.
I'm signing an executive order today that will allow affidavit voting, where you can go to any polling place. If you're displaced, go to any polling place, sign an affidavit, and you can vote.
All right, that was Governor Cuomo saying you can vote. That's the key. And bravo for him to do that, because there's no reason to make it difficult for people to go and vote. I say this all the time. This is my little crazy lecture, so just give me 5 seconds here, or maybe a little bit more, to tell you that as somebody who has been in two other countries and watched what people went through to try and vote, especially in Mexico, I saw crazy, crazy corruption, stuffing of ballot boxes. I mean, they knew who they were putting in, a PRI or PANista, whoever they wanted, that was it, meaning the government. And why vote? It didn't matter. The people were just little pawns in the game. We live in a free society. Thank God we live in the United States of America. And you have a chance to vote. You might feel craggly. You might not like the candidates. You might be sick of politics. You might be disenfranchised, whatever your particular state is. But there's a reason why we go and vote. And if more people did that, it would really sway elections. And maybe some people wouldn't be quite as disappointed. Hey, you're always going to have winners and losers. And sometimes your person is going to be the person that loses, even in getting through an election, to try to get to the point where they're the name on the ballot. But boy, it sure still is a very, very good system. So do yourself a favor and go and vote. That way you can call shows like this one and some of the big boy shows, and you can whine and complain. Because you can say, hey, I voted. I was out there voting. Next time we meet on the airwaves, we'll be talking about some of the results, and we're going to talk to people all over the country, from Ohio and Virginia to D.C. to Boston to Chicago to Florida, really give you a complete picture of what people are thinking and doing and what's happening with the votes in those areas. the headquarters for Romney is going to be in Boston. The headquarters for Obama is going to be in Chicago. And maybe we'll know by Wednesday morning, unless for some reason the predictions of a razor-thin election gunk up the ultimate ballot count because somebody gets stuck with provisional ballots or something happens where it really comes down to that tiny, tiny amount of votes, which would be crazy to see that happen. And that's not what I'm predicting. I think we'll have a clear-cut winner by 2 o'clock in the morning, maybe a little bit before that. I think we'll know who it is. Now, in some of these other races for Senate and some of the tight ones around the country, like Massachusetts, maybe like Missouri, could be that way there, Indiana, that might come down to the next morning, we're going to go through this, or we need to recount, or we need to look at this, or anything like that. But as I said, the key thing is go and vote. Then you have the right to complain because you did what you have. You know, you did what you had to do. My mother's sick, and my mother made it to the polls because she wouldn't think of not voting. In my household, we grew up as kids having to come to the table with a couple of current events and knowing what was happening and who was running, even though, of course, we couldn't vote, and knowing who was running for governor maybe or what was happening with our local representatives. And I just can't imagine that I wouldn't vote, even if I had to stay in a very long, long line. So there might be challenges, there might be some drama, there might be some headaches for some of you to ultimately get there, but boy, I really, really hope that you do. I looked at a final poll, the CNN ORC poll. I mean, we've looked at all different polls, haven't we, for over a year and a half at least. And in the final poll, they say it's a dead heat between Obama and Romney, a dead heat for what that's worth. But what does that mean? Could we see a breakdown in the popular vote versus the electoral vote? We could. In this one, what they're saying is 49% of likely voters that were questioned say they support the president, but an equal amount say they back the former Massachusetts governor. The poll is the fourth national nonpartisan survey released in the last day that shows the battle for the presidency is either a dead heat or virtually tied. And on almost every single indicator, it showed that it was a dead heat that was tested in the poll because they asked various questions. So anything that was a point or two different, it was within the margin of error. So how about that? Obama's approval rating is over the mark of 50%, but that's 51 when he's asked of how he's handling, when these people that were surveyed were asked how he's handling his job as president. But there's no doubt that this thing is close, at least on the popular side. There are 435 seats in the House of Representatives. 33 Senate seats are up for grabs on Tuesday, and 17% say they approve of how Congress is handling its job. That's the latest number. 28% say they approve of how Republican leaders in Congress are handling their jobs. 37% say the same thing about Democrats. How about that? And of those Senate seats, we could see an interesting switch there. I don't think the House will give up very many. I think the House stays pretty solid, Republican, the majority certainly. And in the Senate, it may still be that the Democrats are the majority there, but that is going to be an extremely close in a couple key states like Massachusetts that I mentioned that we might not know what happens there right away. Hey, coming up on America Tonight, one of the issues that didn't get a lot of play, but it's something that we've definitely talked about on America Tonight. The whole idea of, is there such thing as climate change? And you'll find scientists that will persuade you that absolutely. Look at CO2 levels and all that other sort of stuff. Leighton Stewart joins us, and he says that's a bunch of baloney. He's an environmentalist, a geologist, and he's also an author of a best-selling book you might remember from the past called Sugar Busters. He's a former energy executive, and he talks about specifically things you can look at that prove there is no climate change. And we're talking to him about Sandy, because while that didn't come up as much in the presidential debates, hardly at all, in fact, it did come up in the wake of the storm. You know, what was this about? Was this one of those weird oddball things? Was this a once-in-a-lifetime kind of storm? Or is there more to it? Leighton, by the way, believes in clean air and clean water, but says climate change is just a bunch of baloney, and you can look at the statistics, and he's got them posted and whatnot, and so this conversation is one that you don't want to miss. I thought it was worth talking to him because of the superstorm that has rocked so many people's lives, and now the conversation about, wow, what do we do in the future, and what do we have to build, and where are we going to see this again? This is just the beginning, and this erosion is awful, but it's going to get worse. We're going to see another storm like this one. First of all, let's hope we don't see another storm like we saw with Sandy. Terrible coming off of Irene. That was pretty bad with flooding. But this one just put Irene in its rearview mirror. It's unbelievable what happened with Sandy roaring in, even though we thought and looked at the predictions of how bad it could be. I don't know that anybody really thought we would see a roller coaster in the water and we would see boardwalks just ripped apart. So that's coming up next on America Tonight. And a reminder to be a part of the election coverage, because we're going to have it all for you. We're going to take you all across the country and check in with various people about how the vote is coming and some of the things that happen at the polling places and the battleground states, what's happening there. So hang with us here on America Tonight.
You know what happens to your digestive health around the holidays? Right. Unusual schedules and foods you don't normally eat can cause upset stomach and indigestion. But you can prepare your digestive tract with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse from Terraganics.com. Pro-EM-1 is all natural and made with certified organic ingredients. It contains no genetically modified ingredients or preservatives and has no animal products, wheat, soy, dairy, or gluten. Pro-EM-1 does not require refrigeration, so you can take it with you over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house. Pro-EM-1 supports a healthy, regular digestive system, supports weight loss, and improves absorption of food nutrients. Improve your digestion and keep off those extra pounds with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse. Call or click Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Toll free, 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network. Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Well, you know, it's interesting. You've heard me talk about this book before. Who hasn't heard of Sugar Busters? Remember that one? The awesome advice on losing weight and preventing or treating diabetes. Remember one of the authors, Leighton Stewart? Yep. Do you know much more about him? Guess what? Besides that book, which was a rocket success, flew up to number one on the New York Times bestseller. It was there for like 16 weeks, something like that. He's a geologist, an environmentalist, an author, and a retired energy industry executive. You hear what I said? Energy industry executive. And he's here to chat with us about climate change, myths, things that now people are really talking about, especially in the wake of what happened with Sandy on the East Coast. Leighton, thanks so much for spending some time with us here on ATN.
You bet, Kate. Thank you.
So when you saw Sandy, tell me what was going through your mind when you were watching this horrific storm make its way to the East Coast.
When I first saw Sandy moving up the coast, I wasn't too concerned because it wasn't a real powerful storm relative to wind speed or anything. And, you know, 90-something percent of those kind of storms coming up that coast get steered back out into the Atlantic before they get too far up the coast, and a few haven't. This one really all of a sudden got up there and joined with another storm that made it a super storm, certainly supersized, even though it was still only a Category 1, barely a Category 1 when it went on shore. But as with so many of the hurricanes, it's not the wind speed that causes the damage. It's the water that it can really cause the damage. So what happened? This storm went up and joined with this other storm, and then the steering turn the thing west, and it just slammed head on into the coast there, pushing all that water ahead of it, pulling some of it still higher because of the low pressure in the storm, coming up still higher because it just happened to go in on a monthly high tide. And all of that combined to do what you're all looking at, what we're all looking at up there right now, which is horrible destruction. But it was clearly an unusual series of circumstances. I know a lot of people say, oh, well, this is proof of man-made global warming and da-da-da-da-da, but I don't know how global warming could have made all of those things just happen to fall together at exactly the right time. Besides that, I do not believe that the man-made climate change is occurring on any significant level. I think that Mother Nature is controlling the climate.
Yeah, so when you say that, does it mean that this is a cyclical thing, you think, and this is that's strictly what it is?
No, it's just one of those things that happens from time to time, and will it happen again? Certainly there'll be more storms that go up the East Coast. Will there ever be one that has all of these magic things falling together? I can't forecast that, and I got to tell you, Kate, there's not anybody out there that can. If we're just going to be honest about it, they just aren't out there because Mother Nature's climate system is rather chaotic. One of the things that makes so many of us realize that carbon dioxide, man-made carbon dioxide, is not causing the problem is that we can go back now and through a lot of different proxy kinds of reconstructions, find out what Earth's old temperature was, what the old CO2 levels were, not only for the last decade, the last century, the last millennia, but the last several hundred thousand years and even millions of years. And we cannot see any strong footprint that CO2 has been having any significant impact on the climate. Yes, it is a greenhouse gas. Yes, it does cause some warming, but it is essentially insignificant and lost in the noise of all of these other climate drivers that happen to belong to Mother Nature. And there's about 20 of them, and they range from solar effects, orbital effects, ocean current effects, and you can just name one after another. And they clearly, in the past history of Earth, override what is going on today with man-made CO2, and I think Winston Churchill said it better when he said, the farther backward you look, the farther forward you are likely to see. And I think that's exactly what's happening.
Oh, love that quote. So, you know, people are listening, they're saying, oh, there's some people listening. There are a lot of people who are saying, oh, right on, keep telling her that, Leighton, you're absolutely right. But there's other people who say, oh, how can you say that? There's so many people in the scientific community, Leighton, that will tell you that CO2, if we continue to do what we're doing, we're destroying the atmosphere, we're putting a hole in the ozone, we're doing this, we're doing that. Is that more about creating opportunity for green? I mean, what is
more about? It's more about creating opportunity for green. A lot of it is total misunderstanding by general population who, you know, only a certain percentage of them are scientists. And there's no question that Earth's climate is very complex, and it's not easy to get your arms around. The book I wrote, Fire, Ice, and Paradise, was meant for the non-scientist to try to let people go in and realize some of the major things that are contributing to climate science. But there are about six different groups out there, Kate, that are benefiting from this. Wall Street certainly would love to see us put in a cap and trade system because they'd make billions in commissions on all these trades and sales and the taxes that go with them. And speaking of taxes, the administration, and not just the Obama administration, any administration, likes a huge flow of tax dollars coming through their fingers because sooner or later they'll figure out how to buy votes by doling some of that money out. The green industries, of which Mr. Gore is a part, is probably already making billions in profits off of this. The one that disappoints me the most is academia because of the huge source of grants that are coming out of the government and some of the private foundations, it is just natural for these modelers, and the models are the only place these catastrophic forecasts are coming from. These modelers are coming out with these scenarios that say, oh, gee, you know, this could really cause catastrophic warming, et cetera. Now, why would they tend to lean that way? Well, one, if you were assistant professor, associate professor, whatever, in a university, and you brought in a lot of research dollars to that university, you'll get right on up and become a full professor, and then you keep them rolling in, and you'll become tenured, which means they can't run you off. And there is a huge incentive for people to keep going back to that source of money and say, okay, we're going to work some more on trying to prove that man is causing this problem. Then you have the environmental extremist groups, which, of course, get their money by scaring it out of your pocket. And they love these catastrophic forecasts. And, of course, the media, and that's society's problem, because all of us seem to like to watch or listen to catastrophes unfolding. And so that's what the media picks up on, are these forecasts. But if you look at real evidence, what has happened this century, which is, and even a couple of years into the last one, right now, Earth has not warmed at all for 16 years, even though the CO2 level is going up like crazy. And, I mean, that kind of gets your attention. That lets you know that there's something out there stronger than man-made CO2 that's causing the climate to change, or at least to get stable, while the CO2 level's still going up. If you look back last century, last millennia, last several hundred thousand years, last millions of years, you do not find a good correlation where it shows that CO2 must have been driving the climate. And in fact, the ice cores that they've taken, that they really have good information on for about 400,000 years, show that the previous four interglacials, we're in an interglacial right now, thank goodness, the Earth is warm right now and not in a glacial cycle. Those previous four interglacials were all warmer than the current interglacial, even though the CO2 levels were 30% less than they are now.
Yeah.
So that kind of tells you that CO2 wasn't driving Earth to some kind of horrible catastrophic thing. So when you go in and test a hypothesis, which is what man-made global warming is, that's a hypothesis, you go back. And what we've done for 300 years in science, you look at what real observations are telling you. And Albert Einstein was a big proponent of this. You go back and see if real observations back up what your modeling or what your hypothesis is doing. And in this instance, the models have all been wrong. Earth has only been warming at about half the rate that all those models forecast, and it's not warming at a rate that's going to cause any kind of significant problem. And I would urge people to go to our website at plantsneedco2.org and look at some of this data themselves, plantsneedco2.org. That's just an educational site. If I say anything about the administration or how you ought to vote, it'll be on our other side, which is CO2. CO2isgreen.org, because it's a 501c4. But the first one I mentioned is an educational site, and I would urge people to go there and look at the statistics and the charts behind what I'm saying, because I know it's hard for some people to swallow, but I have a very strong environmental background. I'm nearly always on the side of the environmentalist on most of these issues, clean air, clean water. In this case, after I really started studying it, I said, I can't find any real evidence that says that CO2 has been causing Earth to have these humongous climate changes. I just cannot find it.
Yeah. Common sense, clean air, clean water, but whoa, whoa, whoa when it comes to climate change. You're right. Yeah.
You
bet. Yeah, interesting. Lane, thanks so much for joining us. Check it out, folks, because we talk about this a lot here on America Tonight. We look forward to talking with you in the future. Thanks, Layton.
Thank you. Think about it tomorrow.
There you go. Thanks, Layton. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
I like to see you look right across the floor.
Election, and we're going in that direction again. In just a few minutes, we're going to head to the mailbag. The first votes trickled in. A New Hampshire town, Dixville, New Hampshire, to be exact, is always first. So the last rally's pretty much over. There'll be a little bit of maneuvering on the final day. And now it's about the swing state votes, because that's where really all the action has been. Will Obama get the 270-300 he needs, or will it be Romney instead? There are a lot of monitors that are on watch, on guard for fraud on election day, worried that something, some shenanigans will happen. Although voter fraud, when we talk about it, traditionally isn't so much at the polling places, unless it's intimidation And I think the intimidation is, why haven't the military been able to get their ballots? Why didn't they fix that situation? That should have been fixed when there was a problem the last time around. I don't care if it's 100 or 1,000 or 5,000. It doesn't matter. They shouldn't get ballots after the fact and feel like it's not significant, that their vote doesn't matter. Sorry, you're on the front lines, but we can't get those ballots to you in time. That's ridiculous. Already there's a lot of allegations about illegal immigrants on voter rolls in Nevada. Nevada is kind of one of those swing states, too, that could go in a couple of different directions. So this is where all the action is, because this is what everybody's talking about. The electoral map is very much in play. That's why the swing states are in play. While all of this is going on, we're just talking about Sandy and bracing for another potential storm with these areas along the Jersey Shore and elsewhere recovering, picking up trash, bulldozing houses. They could get hit with this nor'easter, so it's going to be cold, it's going to be rainy. That's just awful, adding insult to injury. So New York is going to let voters displaced by the storm go to any polling place they want to go to. You know how that's always the eeny, meeny, miny, mo thing? Oh, you're in this county, so you have to go and vote in this area. It doesn't matter about the counties. You just go and vote. Very smart of Governor Cuomo and New York to come up with this plan. Vote wherever you can get to a voting place. That completely makes sense to me. Voting was on your minds when I checked the mail today, so let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Ah, yes, we have mail. And our first one comes from Billabo, or it could be Billabo. And Billabo says, "Hello, Ms. Delaney. I have to tell you, I always get excited for Election Day. It's kind of like the Super Bowl to me. I'm not much into sports, but I am into politics. I always have been. And it is wild to watch the election results come in. I will never forget 2000 and the hanging chads. I don't think it's going to be that kind of a result night. I think it's going to be pretty straightforward, despite the fact that some think there may be obstacles in the way." All right. I hope it's straightforward. I hope we know who's in by Wednesday morning. That'd be great. Absolutely. I don't know, though, because Ohio could come into play in this election, depending on the other scenarios of electoral votes. You know, it's like putting together a puzzle. Well, if I get these four states, then I've already bagged it, because then you can't possibly add up the votes in those other states. That's why we keep talking about the swing states, the swing states, the swing states. All right, we move on to this one. Johnny C. says, "America Tonight, can't wait to hear your election offerings. I think it's going to be a wild night, actually, where we're going to see some things that will shift in different directions. And maybe the electoral map comes into play even more than was originally thought. You constantly say it's about the numbers, and boy, this is the great example of it. It is about the numbers. And I think Obama is vulnerable this time around. I voted for him the first time, was too disappointed the second time. Couldn't go there. There may be a lot of people that join me who are people who normally have gone the way of the D's. So if the D's turn into R's, well, then that would trump the president. How many people feel that same way, though? Is it a small minority, a big chunk of people, or do we have others that say, I don't like anyone, so I'm not going to vote? To me, that may be the biggest thing. People who just flat out say, I don't like either one. I was a Ron Paul person. I'm for a third party. I'm not backing either one of these guys. I just can't do it. I've heard that a bunch. So how many of those disenfranchised types just simply will not go and vote. So there you go. Here's one from Sandy, who says, hey, I've been enjoying the offerings lately, and I can't wait to see, you know, ultimately, if the president gets a repeat performance. I have to tell you, I am voting for him. I don't know that I would have voted for him if there had been somebody better that had run against him. The problem is, Romney just isn't the answer. I feel like I have to vote, so therefore my vote goes to Obama. You asked about electoral votes. I think Obama gets 303 votes, and this election is called in the very early morning hours on Wednesday. I don't think that this drags out. Okay. This is from Bill, who's listening to us in Illinois. Bill says, wow, I heard a little bit earlier Tomas talking about Pennsylvania, especially, and what a difference Pennsylvania can make. I agree. Pennsylvania could be the kingmaker after all. Wouldn't that be ironic? And Romney may be the beneficiary. In fact, I think Romney's the beneficiary of an ineffective administration. Much more than people are saying, I think more people will vote for Romney than for Barack Obama. I'm almost certain of it based on people that I've talked to. And listening to your show, I hear a little bit of both. Yeah, we've had a lot of both. There's plenty of people that are supporting Obama and plenty that are supporting Romney and plenty that support common sense, and they can't find any common sense anywhere. There's too much of a log jam, and that's the problem with politics, and that's why so many people are just tired of the whole thing. All right, for a break in all of that, this one comes to us from Gary, who says, you would not believe the damage along the Jersey Shore. I live in New Jersey, but an area that wasn't hit quite as hard. However, I've tried to go and help the people in Seaside Heights and some of the other places like Belmar where they were hit hard, Kate. It is just unbelievably depressing to see these shore towns. They don't look like shore towns anymore. The Army Corps of Engineers is digging out literally main streets and rearranging the beach. Yeah, that, looking at the video and the pictures, boy, it is nasty. And that's exactly what they're doing. The Army Corps of Engineers are digging out the sand and they're trying to figure out where. They don't want them to just dump them on beaches. They got to figure out where they're positioning this because you've also have beach erosion that you're dealing with. Any thoughts on what we're talking about here? Any of the offerings on America Tonight? You can send them to me at americatonight.net.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
Drought in 50 years continues, and the first 6 months of 2012 marks the hottest half year on record. 78% of the Midwest Corn Belt is in drought conditions. Not only corn, but soy, alfalfa, fruits, vegetables, and wheat are all impacted, raising prices. The cost to feed livestock is forcing farmers and ranchers out of business, blowing up your food prices. The only strategy to counter this is to freeze your food cost at today's prices by getting your own supply of foods from eFoods Direct now. As the price of raw ingredients increases, eFoods will have to raise prices too. Now is the time to get your supply. I recently increased my supply from eFoods Direct because we've all known this was coming. You know about their delicious long-term storable foods. The fact is you can eat at any time to save money today. And because it stores for 25 years, you're locking in today's prices and avoiding the rising food cost. Don't wait. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.